What's up, everybody? Welcome to Full Draw Friday, number 70. Good to be back. It's been a while. I apologize that we haven't had an episode out here in a little bit now. But we're getting back to it today. It's been busy between the shop and the holiday and November finally wrapping up. It always seems to be the longest, fastest month every year. If you hunt, you understand that. But it gets pretty crazy trying to get deer on the ground, trying to get stuff filmed, trying to get things put out, trying to get work done at the shop, trying to keep up with deer heads, all that stuff. So we're back now, though. Hopefully, we can get back on normal Monday and Friday schedule for you guys. Today, I'm going to be talking about the second rut, kind of what it is, how to hunt it, and then we'll get into the weekend. So I know a lot of you guys here in Illinois are probably already out for second firearm season, and you can use some of this stuff for the next couple days of that. But let's get into it here on Full Draw Friday, number 70. Okay, so if you've heard of the second rut, you probably know what I'm talking about. Maybe not. Maybe you haven't heard of it at all. But it's likely that you've at least heard somebody talking about the second rut or bucks chasing here, you know, into November, early December, even in mid, late December sometimes, and I'll get into that a little bit. But usually when people refer to the second rut, it's right around this first week or two of December, in our area at least. And obviously this is going to shift depending on where you're at geographically throughout the country, north and south wise. But for us here in southern Illinois and a lot of the Midwest, it's usually around the early part of December towards the beginning of the second week. And that is because these does are on a 28-day estrus cycle. So once they come in the first time, if they aren't bred, then 28 days later, give or take, they're going to come into estrus again. That happens for a lot of different reasons. Maybe they just got missed, especially the reason it usually takes place around right here is because the peak of our breeding is going to be somewhere between the 15th and 17th. You could extend that a couple days one way or the other, depending on where you're at again. But there's so many does that come into estrus right there that the bucks, especially if you have a high doe to buck ratio, the bucks just can't get them all bred. So then they go out and then they come back in 28 days after whenever they came into estrus. So especially during that period, there's a lot of does that just get missed. And that's why, if you want to call it the peak of the second rut, I guess, or when you really start to notice it, when there's enough does in to make it noticeable, is usually right around this time period, is because it links up with those that middle of November and then 28 days after that. There's a lot of other reasons too why does, you know, might not have got bred. It could be they just went and hid. They could have been one of the early does, and then they found a nice hiding spot and got away from all the bucks, and they went out, and then they came back in, you know, in late November. You see that sometimes. It could be that they were bred, but for whatever reason, it didn't take. So then they go out of estrus, and then they come back in again. Lots of different reasons that does might be coming back into estrus in that 28-day, give or take, window after the first time that they come in. That's a lot of what you're going to see in the second rut is those does that didn't get bred the first go-around. That's going to be some of your higher activity, too, with it. If you have, let's say you have a really bad doe-to-buck ratio, you might have a pretty intense second rut, which is not good for the health of your bucks because they've just spent all of November trying to keep up and get all these does bred. And they're not ignoring food totally, but for the most part, they're just solely focused on breeding. So that's why you see all these bucks now that you're getting on camera probably looking run down. They've been running really hard throughout November. That could be a sign that you got maybe too many does in your area, not enough food. But now they have to worry about breeding these does that are coming in here in December too. So maybe they just started to switch back to food, but then they come across a doe that's in estrus, and then they come across another one, and then another one, and they might be out there chasing, and then they're running themselves down even more. And then they're putting themselves way behind the eight ball going into the harshest part of the winter. So even if they make it through this winter, all of their nutrition is just trying to go back into their body weight, and they're never going to have enough excess to make a big jump in antler growth for the next season. Sometimes that'll happen, but a lot of times it won't if they get really run down during the rut. So that's something to keep in mind. Probably a topic for a different date, talking about shooting does. We talk about that several times too. If you're like most hunters out there, at some point you've dreamed of having a piece of hunting ground to call your own. Maybe you finally decided to make those dreams a reality. If so, you need to talk to our guy, Rodney Hawkins. Rodney is a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. If you haven't heard of them, they aren't your average real estate company. While they do deal in traditional residential and commercial real estate, their specialty is recreational and farm ground. With agents like Rodney serving across the state of Illinois, no matter what you're looking for, they can find it. Even if you want to sell what you already have to upgrade, downgrade, reinvest, whatever, they've got you covered. For more information, you can contact Rodney at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. On top of what he does for MFL, Rodney also has his own company called RG Outdoors. They currently carry hard and soft-sided blinds, blind chairs, tree stands, and cameras from Radix Hunting, Tacticam trail cameras, Fission e-bikes, and he's adding new stuff all the time. I've personally used all of these products, and I'm beyond happy with every one of them. The Fission e-bike is a game changer, and you will not find a better one for the price. If you're interested in anything RG Outdoors has to offer, you can send them a message to their Facebook page, RG Outdoors, email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com, or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153. But the other thing that happens with this second rut is the fawns that are coming into estrus. And that's first year deer. So this is deer that these are deer that have been that were born this spring of the same year, and then they come into estrus that fall/winter. Why that happens is once they reach a certain body weight, then they can breed, and that's when they'll come into estrus for the first time. So you've probably seen or heard guys talking about big mature bucks chasing little fawns in mid-December, even up in January. That's what's happening. They've done a lot of research on it to show that once doe fawns hit a certain body weight, they will come into estrus the first time in their first year. Some of them never hit that in the first year, but they actually have done some studies that show up to 40% of fawns in a healthy herd with, you know, good nutrition and healthy herd, meaning number-wise, up to 40% of those fawns will come in their first year. So you could really see, if you have a healthy herd, you could really see that affect the buck's behavior too in early, late December even, when it comes to this second rut period. Also, again, you know, there's going to be some of those that come in January. That's not really going to be a focus. Even late December, you're not really going to be focusing on a second rut. And I'm not sure now you're going to be focused on it, but it is something to keep in the back of your mind when you're deciding how to set up on these bucks and how to hunt them. I'm going to talk about that a little bit next. But the other point I wanted to bring up on this is there's also been some studies to show that it's mostly the mature bucks that participate in the second rut. There's a lot of different factors that could be the reason for that. Some are that young bucks might run so hard throughout the beginning, like in the pre-rut when you see those little bucks checking every doe and chasing every doe and they're not in yet and they just don't get it. They're so worn out from doing that all of November. By the time December rolls around and those second does start coming in, they're just completely out of it. It could be that they haven't been around long enough to understand. I don't know if understand is the right word. To know that those does, instinctually know that those does are going to come in again, or some does are going to come in December, so they got no reserves for that, or they're just not looking for them, unless they just happen to come across one. Obviously, the mature bucks are going to have more body fat reserves. They're going to have more body weight, so they're able to withstand the duration of the rut better than some of these younger bucks that aren't quite as big-bodied. And then, again, by the time this second rut rolls around, they're focused back on food, whereas the mature bucks might still have enough left to go breed these does. So there's a lot of reasons why mature bucks, it seems like they are participating mostly in this second rut, but those are some of them. And that leads into another thing that they've kind of seen. And this is biologists and scientists and stuff, and it's also guys that have hunted for years and years and throughout the past, you know, 2-3 decades with a lot of experience, talking about how mature bucks are often more susceptible to calling here in the later part of November, early part of December, because they are the ones that take part in that rut. So you might rattle on the 8th of November and get 4 2.5-year-old bucks come by, or 3 2.5s and a 3.5, you know. But then if you rattle now, it seems a lot more likely that that mature buck might be the one that respond to it instead of those younger bucks. And again, that's not saying you won't have the same results, especially if in your area all you have is 2 and 3 year old bucks. That's all you're going to see. But there's a lot of data out there and a lot of video evidence to suggest that mature bucks are going to be more susceptible here in the later part of the rut, or later part of November, early part of December, to that calling. So, with all that said, how do you hunt this second rut, if that's what we're calling it? Focus on the food where the does are. So not just food sources where there have been a handful of deer out there, maybe every other night or so. Usually right now, these does are going to be congregating back together. The fawns are going to get back with the big does. And they're all going to be grouped up, and they're going to be going to hit the same food source. That's where you need to be, because the more does you can see, the higher chance you have of seeing one that is going to be coming back into estrus, the higher chance that a buck's going to be coming into checker. So don't just hunt some random food source. Use your trail camera data, use your scouting, use your previous knowledge. Even just knowing, hey, there's a cut cornfield over here and it's getting really cold, I know that's where the deer are going to want to be. Or if you have standing corn, food plots, you know, if you've got a good green source, stuff like that, that's where you're going to want to be. Your traditional rut strategies like those saddles and catching them cruising bedding areas in the mornings and stuff like that, that they might still work. But they're definitely not as effective as they were back in, you know, the first 2 weeks in November or so. There are going to be some active scrapes right now too. I've got one mock scrape that I set up this year that the bucks have just been, they've been on it almost every, it's either the morning, evening, or middle of the night. Like every day, there's been some buck in there checking that thing. So there's going to be some scrapes that are opening back up too. There won't be a bunch of them. Again, it won't be like the pre-rut. But if you can find some of those scrapes that are opening up, especially if they're around doe herds, like we talked about in, you know, that late October period, if you can find those, that's going to be a good place to be as well. Especially like if you don't have the big food source to hunt, if you don't have food plots or something like that, if you can find those scrapes that are active now, that's going to be a good place to be because those bucks are going to be coming to check them. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. If you've made it to this point, hopefully you're enjoying the show. And if you are, go over to our Facebook page and our Instagram. Give us a follow. It's Ridge Hunter Outdoors. We also have a private Facebook group. That's Ridge Hunter Nation. You can go over there and answer a couple questions. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast or you watch any of our shows on YouTube or Carbon TV, you get in that group and just use it as your normal hunting group. Share your success, your failures, pictures, whatever you got. And we'll also give you some extra content in there. I'll ask questions on that, maybe do some surveys occasionally. And we'll also give you guys the opportunity to ask questions for any of our guests that we might have coming on, if we have them lined up in time and that's available. You'll find that at Ridge Hunter Nation. That's on Facebook. Our website is ridgehunteroutdoors.com. That's where you're going to see our scent line, Ridge Hunter Scents, our buck tarsal spray, doe tarsal spray, and our calming spray. All of our apparel is available on the website, and our food plot seed, when it is in stock, is available on the website too. If you want any of that stuff, make sure you use our discount code RHOPOD or full draw, all caps on either of those, no space, and you get 10% off your entire order. We also have our entire catalog of podcasts on the website, and our video series are available on there as well. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other audio platform, give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it lets you do, and that'll let you guys know when our episodes come out. They're not always as consistent as we want them to be, but we try to shoot for Monday and Friday. Sometimes it gets on a Tuesday or a Saturday maybe for an episode, and that way you'll know when they come out. It also really helps us without costing you anything. If you're listening to this on YouTube, hopefully you're already subscribed to the channel. If you're not, make sure you do that. If you're not listening to this on YouTube and you're not subscribed, make sure you go over there and do that at Ridge Hunter Outdoors, just like everything else. That's where you'll find our Fall Pursuit Show, Spring Strutting, all of our off-season vlogs will be on there, and much more. If you guys see a video or are listening to a podcast on there and you're enjoying it, just drop us a comment. Hey, good show. Really enjoyed it. Something simple. Give the video a like. That really, really helps us out. And again, it doesn't take much of your time at all. You can also find Fall Pursuit on Carbon TV, and Spring Strutting will be on there this spring as well. So make sure you go over to Carbon TV. They have a lot of great shows to offer. and ours will be on there also. Thanks for listening, guys. We really appreciate you tuning in when you do. Now let's get back to the episode. If you don't have like a food plot to hunt, if you don't have standing corn or standing beans that you've planted, and your only food source that you can hunt, so let's say you don't have those active scrapes either, or maybe you do, but you're wanting to go to the food, you don't have the food plots, but what you do have are big ag fields, because I know that's a lot of what guys are hunting around here, fence rows and ditches and big ag fields. It's going to be a little bit more luck of the draw on where those deer come out. We've all sat there over a big ag field, cut beans or shelled corn field or winter wheat, and watched, you know, 20, 30 deer come out, and none of them ever get close to within bow range. You have to kind of try to figure out where those deer are coming out into the field. And some of the places that are going to have you give you the higher odds are going to be those inside corners. So if you've got an inside corner of a timber that leads out into that field, if there's a low spot like a roll in the field coming out of the timber or coming out of cover, that's going to be a good place for them to usually come out. Obviously, you're going to be able to find trails, but there's going to be trails probably all over that field edge. If you can find what looks to be the freshest ones, the freshest tracks within those trails, or the most beat down trails, then obviously that's where you're going to want to be too. If there's little fingers of timber that come out into the field, if maybe there's a little knob of timber that comes out into the field, those are going to be good places for those deer to come out. Anything that's not just a straight line in straight flat ground, something that breaks up that terrain a little bit and gives them maybe a little bit more security or a place to hide or feeling a little bit better about coming out into the open when they first get there, that's where you're going to want to set up here for these December and even into the late season. If that's the kind of hunting you're doing over these big ag fields, that's the kind of place you're going to want to be. I am going to stay focused on the evening hunts. I usually don't hunt many mornings, if any, after November. That's not to say you can't have success in the mornings. Obviously, you can. But I think you have potential to do more harm than good depending on your setup. So especially if you have to go through one of those big ag fields or around a food plot or something in the morning, then you're risking a lot pushing those deer out of those feeding areas, and then you're never going to see them in the daylight. So I try to focus on the evening hunts and go out and hunt those food sources in the evenings. But if you are going to hunt the mornings, the bedding areas are going to be the place to go. Again, don't walk through the food to get there if you can help it. And get in there close to their bedding area and try to catch them coming back. Because while, like, as on the same token, they will go out to food earlier in the afternoon, so you got a better chance of seeing them in daylight as it gets colder here throughout the late season, they're also going to stay out there later in the morning. So you have more time to get in there in their bedding area and a better chance of catching them in daylight coming back. You just have to have a way to get out that's not through the bedding now. So if you can go in through the cover and then come out through the food, that's going to be the way to go in the mornings here throughout late season. It's typically throughout the season going to be the way you want to go. But especially now in the late season, you don't want to walk through the bedding area that you just saw those deer go into. Just like you don't want to walk through the food that you're expecting them to come from on your bedding area setup. So if you are going to hunt the mornings, keep all that stuff in mind. But I would suggest maybe focusing on the evenings a little bit more, trying to find those food sources where the does are at. That's where the bucks are going to be. Hopefully, the mature bucks checking out those does that are coming in for the second rut. And hopefully, you can get on one. Obviously, if you're gun hunting too this weekend and you get out on one of those ag fields, if you got a blind or something or a tree, anywhere, if you can get within gun range of those places where they're coming out, then you're going to be in a good spot, especially with some of the calibers that we're allowed to hunt with now here in Illinois and in states where you get rifle season. I think Iowa might be in now. So all of those, you know, obviously that changes the game. You don't have to quite get into bow range on those big ag fields. But if you're wanting to kill a mature buck, like these next 2 weeks, if you can get out there with a gun and set a food source, especially with this cold weather we got, that's going to be maybe your best chance all season. So good luck to you if you're doing that. If you're out there bow hunting, make sure you try to get within bow range. And good luck to everybody. If you are gun hunting, stay safe. If you're bow hunting too, stay safe. But make sure you wear your orange out there. Know what you're shooting at. Wear your harness if you're in the tree. All of that good stuff. And we will see you guys on the next one.